Hi, this is Scott. I really appreciate our sponsors because they make the show possible. Today's show is sponsored by Developer Express. Become a UI superhero with DevExpress, controls, and libraries. Deliver elegant .NET solutions that address customer needs today by leveraging your existing knowledge. You can build next-generation touch-enabled solutions for tomorrow. You can download your free 30-day trial at dx.hanselminutes.com. That's dx.hanselminutes.com. Hi, this is Scott Hanselman. This is another episode of Hansel Minutes. Today, this is Hansel Minutia 18.
18?
Richard Campbell. How are you, sir?
I'm well, my friend. How are you?
I am a little disheveled. We tried to do this with the Google Hangouts.
Yep.
It failed.
And then we tried a few different ways, but apparently YouTube streaming's got some problems.
Yes, it is the 8th of March right now, and YouTube is down. So that failed horribly. Yeah. So what we're doing is a little, it's a little janky. We've got multiple cameras. Mm-hmm. Which camera am I on here? That one. Hello. We've got multiple cameras going, multiple mixers. I ended up bringing up downloading and installing OBS Studio. I set myself up with a local stream. I'm on Messenger, Facebook Messenger with you right now.
Yep.
Capturing that screen. It's pretty, it's a poor person's Google Hangouts.
It's janky.
But I think we could probably make this work in the future.
Yeah, no, I'm happy. Happy we got it together. And it's been a while since we did a minutia. It's been more than a year anyway.
It is. I hope people can hear you. If they can't hear you, then, this will just be a podcast that they'll be listening. Well, I don't know. It'll just be me talking to myself.
Oh, well, wouldn't be the first time.
All right. Good deal. So let me tell you what I'm excited about. And
okay.
Then you will inevitably interrupt and make the talk that much awesomer.
Yes.
I bought a Switch, a Nintendo Switch, and it
did.
Frickin' joy. It is so good.
It's that good that you are just like, it's awesome.
I'm so excited about my Switch. I can't even stand it.
It's really just a Wii U in sort of portable form, right?
That's such an old guy thing to say.
Oh, well, you know, that's what a PSP is.
It is, well, here, because people can't see it, but I'm going to just pick it up.
Hold it up.
And this is the thing. It was on the TV over here to my side, right? And now, there we go. Where are we? Here we go. Where's Zelda? Look at that. I mean, it's just so special, so exciting.
It's all about that one game, right? It's all about the Zelda game.
It is a portable Zelda system. I mean, all that matters is that it's Zelda. I don't know. Let's say Zelda's 100 hours, right?
Oh, that's easy. Well, then that's an open world game, that particular Zelda game. So
it's
who knows
$3
how long
an hour. It's $3 an hour. I mean, it's a $3 an hour Zelda simulator. The way I look at it is this. Every hour that goes by that I play Zelda makes the Switch that much more inexpensive. Right? It's constantly justifying its existence with me.
Right. By consuming time.
Mm-hmm. And what's so exciting about it is that people are looking at it on this screen here.
So right.
I'll just turn it over here. I just drop it in to the little dock. And then it immediately is going to pop up over there on the screen, which is unbelievable.
Oh.
Let me see here. Yeah. So they can't see because my streaming is so janky. But now I plugged it into a dock and it's up on the main screen.
Right.
I've got the Pro controller and then I'm watching it on TV, like exactly like the commercial.
So it does what it says it's supposed to do.
It does exactly what it's supposed to do. And I'm seeing all these people complaining. On, oh, you know, it's the worst launch in years. No, come on.
I don't think they have enough of them. They're basically sold out everywhere.
They have. Yeah. The Wii
U. So how much more do you want from a launch than you sold them all?
Well, and didn't it sell the most since the Wii, I think? It's like, I don't know, millions and millions and millions.
Yeah.
I don't know.
I'm with you. Like, I'm happy that there's three video game machine companies, right? I mean, you've got Sony and Microsoft and Nintendo still making devices, still innovating. That's what a working ecosystem looks like.
You know, that's actually a really good point. This is the third party.
Yeah.
Right? I mean, they said that, it says here in Japan, it sold third of a million in 3 days. They're saying that the Wii U sold just 3 million by the end of 2012.
Wow.
So, you know, I don't know. It didn't blow the doors off, but I think it's special. I think that it was a weak launch in the sense of the number of games that were available, of course, is small.
But again, you need a marquee game. You need one. And if it's Zelda, you got to make.
Oh, yeah.
Like, that's the game.
I bet
you could have sold that many of those machines if all it played was Zelda.
Yeah. Someone in the chat here just said, it's just like the commercial, except without hip, cool kids on the roof.
Two old white guys talk about a video game machine.
I have not been invited to any roof parties.
Oh.
Which is, you know,
that's problem. Too bad.
Exactly. It's beautiful, though. It's fun. You just pick it up. You walk away. I'm looking for, like, nits. There's no nits. Well, the only nit is that the dock is cheap plastic. And if you just slapped it in the dock, it could theoretically, I don't know, scratch the screen.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see how it survives. I mean, in theory, cheap plastic, you know, this Gorilla Grass on that screen, it should survive. You'll break the dock before you break the unit.
I don't think it's Gorilla Glass.
No?
I think there's talk about it maybe not being Gorilla Glass. Hmm. But I think that to get back to your original point, there is a third perfectly viable, fantastic game company out there. And I'm hearing, just by looking on, reading some different more obscure blogs, that the trick with the Switch is going to be indie devs. I think that this is the year of the indie developer.
I hope that comes true because it hasn't so far. And Nintendo is, I would argue, of the three, maybe second worst. I think Microsoft has the best shot to actually get indie dev to work. Not that they have. Mm-hmm. And then Nintendo. And then Sony is openly hostile to just about everybody. So it's very unlikely to make it work in Sony.
Yeah. I definitely think that if they can get the indie dev thing right, then this it'll be good.
Well, and it's just, make a level playing field so that folks can contribute their good ideas. You think about how many Unity games have been made. Just the ability to build a decent game with one, two, maybe three people, some off-the-shelf resources. Like, it's incredibly doable. And the other thing that's important for me about the Switch is they didn't go for the monster horsepower. You know, the race between the PS4 and the Xbox One and the One S and all of this is about more compute and more compute and more compute. And the downside for that in the gaming industry is it's no longer economically viable to build a game that will press against the limits of those machines. It takes so much art. It takes so much graphical resources to actually push the edges of a PS4. You have to be sure you've got a guaranteed winner to actually do it. So you don't utilize the machine. And the Switch hasn't gone that way, right? Zelda's beautiful, but it's not leading edge graphics. They're not going all out. It's just a better Zelda.
It's last year's graphics. They're saying that it started being designed in what, 2015? You know, it is a portable Wii U.
Right.
At this point. It's got a last year's Tegra processor.
And the Wii
U
is older than that. So knowing they couldn't get much more powerful than the Wii U, what they did was they used Moore's Law to drive down cost and to drive down size and power consumption. So they could get a reasonable price portable version of a Wii U with the screen built in.
Right, and again, and think about that.
I'm like, this, don't go to the edges of compute all the time. Don't go mental on the GPU. Go creative, right? Give enough room that we can make something pretty and spend more of your energy making something with a great story that's fun to play than going for the perfect realism. Nobody cares just how perfectly somebody bleeds. Right?
That's a really valid point. People keep bringing up things like, it doesn't do 4K. And I'm like, really? 4K in a tablet that I carry around that is three quarters of an inch thick. Exactly.
You see that monitor behind me?
Mm-hmm. It's huge.
That's that 43-inch Dell 4K.
Okay.
So that's a 4K monitor at 120 DPI. So you can actually use the full resolution. And I'll tell you something. That's as big as you ever want a monitor. 43 inches is awfully big.
Yeah.
When you've got stuff up in the corners of that screen, it's a long way away.
Yeah. I think that this is a 720p screen. It's a 180 odd DPI when you're holding it.
Yep.
I'm sitting here next to a 35 inch screen. When you dock it, it goes to 900.
Nice.
Rather than 720.
And not, I don't know. Not 1080 either, which is interesting.
Not 1080. And then there's a couple of complaints about frame rate. I guess the frame rate is locked to 20, tries to hit 30. Maybe if it's like in the rain and it's covered and you're in a grassy field and you're being attacked by a dozen, you know, goblins.
Right.
It might slow down.
You're
going to
drop the frame rate.
But this whole thing where I'm going to somehow dismiss an entire new launch because it's not 60 frames locked is silly.
And there's always a group of people and they're the tweakers and the tuners, right? The folks that are pushing against the limits all the time on their own machines. It's like, if you're not doing that, then what are you doing? Here's the real question. Is it fun? Are you having a good time playing it?
Lose your marriage.
Do you want to go back to it? Like, that's what I look for in a game. Yeah.
It's lose your marriage fun. It is. Yeah. Like I was in here playing. The kids were down. It was 9 o'clock last night. My wife was like, you know, come out and we'll watch a show.
Right.
I blinked and it was 1 a.m.
And you had not watched the show. Your wife had given up and you had gone to bed.
Yeah.
And you were going to have a bad morning.
I tell you. And it's bad, but at the same time, that's the level of immersion that you only get with quality game design.
Yep.
That I am experiencing that on a daily basis with Twitch. It's almost like call in sick fun.
Oh no.
No, it's a huge
problem. You said that on a recording.
No, I know. It's concerning, but at the same time, like I was tweeting earlier about all the different things that it is. It's the feeling that you get with a Grand Theft Auto. It's the puzzles of Portal.
Yeah.
It's the scope of a Shadow of the Colossus, which is a freaking 15-year-old game.
Yep.
It's the open world of Grand Theft Auto, right? It's Skyrim, where, I mean, I'm on, it's only 900 horizontal lines or 720p, but I'm having moments of like, breathtaking, like you come up over that mountain and you kind of go, holy crap. Because what it doesn't have in high res, it has in, what's the word? What's it called? Not field, the distance. Like there's no pop
that
in.
That depth of field.
But there's no pop in. It's not like, oh, you know, it can only draw, you know, mountains when you get close to them and then a mountain pops in front of you. It doesn't happen.
Right.
You know, it's the inventory of like a Bard's Tale and Skyrim. It's just a freaking perfect game. It's Just Cause. If you ever play Just Cause where you're running around, you know, I've even forgotten, honestly, what I'm supposed to be doing right now. Like I know that there's a main, what's the word? There's like a main quest.
Right. Sorry. You know, primary
storyline.
Like
I'm in this world. Yeah, primary story. I know there's a main quest. I'm completely ignoring it. I have no idea what I'm supposed to be working on.
You've gone
right
off
now.
The beaten path. You know, the last game that really did that to me was Fallout.
Yeah, I've heard that.
Yeah, Fallout 3 was good for that. You know, you're on the main storyline, and then you pop into a village, and there's some mystery going on in that village. And next thing you know, you've played 3 hours dealing with that mystery that had nothing to do with the primary story.
You know, that is, that. So I was in a village yesterday.
Exactly.
And like a little kid runs by, like a 9-year-old, and he says, hey, if you can get a traveler's sword and show it to me, then I'll give you something. And I ran off looking for that, you know? And then I bring it back, and if like with all good quests, he's like, well, if you can show me this, and now it's, you know, he's one-upping.
Right.
He wants to see something else. Has nothing. It's a side quest. Yep. Totally useless, but I'm climbing. Oh, and then yesterday I spent freaking 3 hours trying to climb rocks that were wet. Apparently you can't climb rocks when it's raining. So then I'm like, this is unacceptable. I'm trying to figure out if there's, so then there's like, well, there's special climbing pants that you can get that'll let you climb the wet rocks. Oh my God. It's just a blast. And of course I can't let the kids see it or I'll never see my kids again.
No, that'll be the end of it.
Yeah. It's awful. Someone's commenting on your microphone. They said it's as big as your head. It's a pretty special.
My head's
pretty
big. What
is going on? Why is that microphone so, what is that? It's like a piece of foam around it?
Yeah, there's an AT2020 in here, and then this is a Chaotica eyeball.
And it's called an eyeball.
Yeah, it's called the Chaotica eyeball, and it is both a pop filter and a foam baffle. So it stops the audio reflections from the wall behind me from hitting the microphone again. It just absorbs it all. So it gives me a real nice, flat, you know, crisp sound without having to do conditioning to the whole room. This is basically Chaotica a sound booth around the microphone.
It says here, the alternative to a sound booth. It acoustically treats your space. They have a very nice website with a cool scrolly thing.
Yep.
That shows exactly how it gets in. It's actually, it looks like it is dense. It is not. It's an empty open space.
Yeah. I mean,
it's a ball.
It's a ball with a hole in the middle of it. And this front piece comes off. Like it's an interesting device and, it's kind of expensive for a ball of foam, you know, $200 But I needed it when the basement flooded. I mean, I'm back in my basement. It's been more than a year. Still lots of work going on down here. It's taken a long time. So when I was upstairs, I absolutely had to have this. And I just sort of got used to it. I like it. Rather than just a regular pop filter, I have the eyeball on the whole thing. And it looks like something out of Portal, which makes me happy.
It does.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of Portal, Zelda's got all this. Everything's orange and blue. Whenever you're doing the puzzles, it's orange and blue.
Oh, interesting.
And I keep wanting to open a portal into Zelda, but yeah.
Portal colors. Can't.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, the guy just put in the chat here that there's an article about independent devs being treated by like royalty by Nintendo.
By Nintendo. Because, yeah. I mean, I've worked with game developers for many, many years, and I had a bunch of friends who worked with Nintendo, found them very challenging to work with. But that was a number of years ago. If they've clued in to this idea that indie games are the thing, that this is what will make the world a better place... that's going to shape up the market in a big way. That's how I've always felt like Nintendo was kind of stuck. Like, how are they the real original incumbents, right? From the NES in the 80s on forward, right? Mario is more than 20 years old. How are they going to be modern? If they can crack the indie market, they're going to be on top of the world.
Have you heard of Shovel Knight? Have you played Shovel Knight?
I have not.
It's this perfect little pixel 2D platformer with a nice story about a knight, and he carries a shovel. If you ever played like Ghouls and Goblins or Ghouls and Ghosts, it's kind of like that, but it's very, very pixely, very Metroid, and it's got some of the smartest leveling platforming that I've ever seen. And it's kind of a nice palette cleanser that you can play on the Switch. It also is on Xbox or 3DS. Basically, Shovel Knight is everywhere. And it's one of those little, you know, kind of indie small studio games that is the way that we remembered 2D games 20 years ago.
Yeah, it's a modern interpretation of an 8-bit game then.
It is. That's very well said. Because if you went and looked at a real 8-bit game, they aren't that. They're not like, you know what I mean? Like,
our expectations were lower then.
Yes, your memory of what an 8-bit game, like the complexity of the levels. Yeah. But there's this kind of new renaissance in 2D and polished 2D action games. And I think it's like $8 now on various small things. And now, because that was a huge hit from this company called Yacht Club, now they're doing like sequels and prequels, and they're building into the story about this cute little knight with a... and actually, I've got an amiibo here I'll show you of this cute little knight with a shovel.
Nice.
You know? And he's just like, he's got like horns on his head and a shovel, and he's doing his thing. So I like that on the...
It's very Wagner-esque.
It is. I like on the Switch that I can play something that's 3D, like Zelda, that's open world, or something that's like 2D. I'm really hoping they do the virtual console thing so that I could get, you know, all the Super Nintendo games. I want an emulator.
Oh, I see. You want to go back and play a bunch of those. Remind yourself of just how bad those old games actually were.
Yeah. They definitely don't hold up, but I've got the virtual console on my 3DS, which allows me to buy legally, you know, Super Nintendo games like Mario and what's the other ones? Metroid, Super Metroid. You can buy those from their digital thing. So I think if the Switch gets those things plus... you know, the usual Hulu, Netflix, then I think it'll become my tablet. I don't think I will take my iPad to the hotel anymore.
It could be. And there are people who carry their PSP that way as well. So it's like they could turn this into a contemporary PSP.
Yeah. And I would like I don't want the dock, but I want a cable to plug in to the HDMI of the hotel.
Right.
then I'm going to be carrying my console with me.
Is there an HDMI plug on this Switch?
Well, so that's the thing. If I pull the Switch out right now, it is docked. And at the bottom here, there is only USB 3.
Right.
USB-C.
Right.
At the bottom of the Twitch. I'm holding the Twitch up here. So basically, at the whole thing, the power is USB-C. I am not familiar with how USB-C works.
Well, USB-C has enough bandwidth that it could be feeding an HDMI output as well.
What? I don't know how you would do it. Would you have a...
You'd have to have a little module that would do the conversion.
So you do need a module. You need something to like... Because it's doing HDMI over that...
USB-C, exactly. So whatever they're doing that's inside the dock, you would have to have a module that did that. But it's probably doable in, you know, $50.
But the module, the dock is nothing.
It
weighs nothing. It's plastic. Right. So it sounds like that little box exists in there.
Yeah, probably possible.
Then I'm hearing you say that there is the possibility for a, I don't know, $30, you know, adjustable thing. Right?
I'm saying $50, but yeah, USB to HDMI. Yeah,
I totally do. And then I plug it into to the hotel and you're all set.
Yep.
And see, look at this. I hold it up here and watch. You just take the controllers off.
Yeah.
I mean, that's just gold.
It's pretty cool.
That. And they've really done a great job. You see how that has like a number 2 on it?
Yeah.
Basically, you take it off and one becomes 1, one becomes 2. Then you can, you know, hold them separately as Wii remotes.
Yeah.
But if I plug them in and then I just take the Pro controller, which is over here, it looks just like an Xbox controller.
Yeah, very much like an Xbox controller.
And I just push the button. The two little ones shut off and the big one turns on and boom, you're all set.
That's awesome.
Oh, it's so good. Battery life. I played Zelda I sat at a McDonald's with a free soda pop and played Zelda for at least 3 hours.
Right. And at that point, your battery life is now your friend. When this battery's dead, you should stop.
That is a very, with all due respect, kind of practical old man statement.
Well, you know, I play Kerbal Space Program, and it's got a memory leak, and it's good for about 3 or 4 hours, and then it crashes, and that crash is my indication I should stop. I've been playing for too long.
That is so smart. I'm going to tweet that because that's exactly what it is. And we're like, oh, it sucks. It doesn't have 8-day, all-day battery life.
No.
You've been playing for 3 or 4 hours. You need to go.
Yeah, you have other things you should be doing. There's nobody in the world after that battery's dead who really has nothing else to do.
Yeah, that's smart.
Go do something. Go work in a soup kitchen, if nothing else, right? Go help some people.
Another comment here. Someone is asking, is this my Logitech Brio camera? Unfortunately, it's not. The people on Twitch are seeing an old life cam. Because what happened was, I'm calling Richard on... Let me see if I can lighten this up a little bit. I'm calling Richard with Messenger, which is Facebook Messenger.
And I'm getting the Brio cam then.
You're getting the Brio cam, right, which I could not get to work with... I'm using OBS, the Open Broadcasting Studio, to send this up to Twitch. The 4K stream that it is sending out was not compatible. So he says that he wants to know if I'm still crushing it. I love it. It is a fantastic device. Mm-hmm. Couple of issues though. If you go and check out my blog, the Brio has bad drivers. So every time you run Windows update for the Insiders updates, the Brio will uninstall itself. The Life Cam looks okay. I appreciate that. But I would definitely say that the Brio is the superior camera.
Yeah, I'm in the process of wiring up my Canon XC10, which is a 4K video camera.
Okay.
The sort of professional camera with a shallow depth of field lens and all that good stuff. But I just got this Blackmagic card. And it'll allow me to plug it into the computer and use it as a gigantic webcam. But I'm waiting on specialty cables, as always.
Black Magic card. What is that?
Oh, this one actually is an Intensity Pro 4K. Oh, look, I even have the box.
So I'm looking here. Black Magic Design Products. Which is the name? That's Intensity Pro?
Pro 4K.
Incredible capture and playback in SD. So it looks like it's got DVI and two HDMIs.
Yep. DVI in, DVI out.
Interesting. So anything that can spit out HD shows up as a video stream. So for example, if you wanted to do what we're doing right now, in Twitch or broadcasting studio,
yeah, our timing was bad, my friend. I should have this working fine in the next week, and I haven't got it done yet. So I'm on my Surface Book camera.
Yeah. So right now, not only that, just to make sure that people who are watching this on video understand what's going on here, the solution we put together to make this happen is quite cheesy. I am using Open Broadcasting Studio to capture a window that is on Facebook Messenger.
Right.
You look horrible. Only because you're JPEG-y, you're lovely. And what we want to be able to do, though, is figure out a way to send that high-quality 4K stream, you know, to OBS directly. This is the thing about OBS. We could do 4K streams. I could send a 4K stream to YouTube, you know, with these different things. But how do you do chat like this, high-quality chat in a scalable way?
Two 4K streams? Woo!
Yeah, I don't know. But somebody's got to do the compositing,
right?
And that's where things get messy.
That's where it gets complicated, that's for sure.
Absolutely. So I didn't mean to talk about the Switch for the whole
Switch is awfully good, man. Like, you're not alone. There's lots of people that are pretty excited about it.
I'm just telling you. And here's the thing. I said this on Twitter. I'll say it here. If, in fact, it doesn't take off, right? It becomes the next Wii U, with all due respect to both of you who bought one.
Yep.
It doesn't matter because it's a fantastic portable Zelda machine, and I'm totally okay with that, and I'm very happy.
And I think that's the whole thing. Like, how do you get a new machine to sell? It comes down to that one marquee game,
right,
where you have that moment that says, I just want to play that, and that's enough for me to want to own this.
And honestly, all the different people out there are like, this isn't you. Just buy a Wii U. No. Yeah. I mean, maybe if you find one at Goodwill. I mean, the Wii U was not as good as the Wii. It didn't happen. It's clunky. It's chunky. And additionally, the Wii U version of Zelda provides no additional Wii U, gamepad specific behavior. It's not Wii U custom.
No.
If this thing gets Netflix, gets Hulu, gets Amazon Prime, gets any kind of play video off of a USB key. And the one thing I am worried about, actually, the cloud save. There is no cloud save right now.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm on a tightrope out there in the world with a 16 hours into Zelda. You know what I mean? Every time I save, I'm like, I hope I'm not in somebody's for loop where they're going to destroy my save game and I'm going to be screwed. So other than that, if they fix those things, it's going to be gold. I am very happy with my purchase. Bought with my allowance.
What did you give up? My allowance. What did you give up to have this?
Chipotle. I did a blog. If you go to Hanselman.com/blog right now, I've got a thing. I'm trying to get my relationship book done again.
Right.
So I wrote up my wife and my allowance system for adults that justifies the purchasing of things like this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
I pay myself first in cash when the cash is gone. So I had actually been walking around with twenties, with $300 in twenties in preparation,
right? You know, to be able to
buy this thing. But to buy it guilt free,
right?
To buy a Nintendo Switch guilt free was so important to me.
Paid with cash, no credit card statements coming, nothing paid.
Yeah. And when I brought it home, it was so great because my wife did not say, she didn't go and say, well, what is this? Or do we need another console? No, we did not need another console.
Nope.
I wanted it.
This is my indulgence.
Yeah. And the allowance system is great. I think you have similar ideas around finance. You should be able to buy things guilt-free if you can afford them. And
yes.
And this took me 7 weeks of saving and I bought it and it was good.
Well, and I tend to use credit cards, but mostly for the financial protection. I don't use them as loans. They're paid every month.
Yeah.
Like the advantage of a credit card is that it gives you privileges as a consumer.
Indeed. And some people complained and they said, well, that's silly. You shouldn't have done that. You should have used, your credit card. To be clear, for big purchases, I do the same thing. I have a card. I get miles. But what I do is I carry the cash around.
Yeah.
And then I give the cash back to my wife, and then she puts it on the credit card.
Right.
So I, for big stuff, for little stuff, you know, I'll go and buy it. I don't need financial protection for a game, but for the game system, I carry the money around. I saved it up. It gave me something to focus on, something to look forward to. I bought the game, and then I gave my wife the $300.
You know, I think the most important part of that whole thing, like the process, the specific process isn't important. That you have a process is that money is spent mindfully. It's just like eating, right? Eat mindfully, spend mindfully.
You know, we should do maybe the next podcast. We'll do one on mindfulness because I think that I had this conversation today. I met with a young woman about career counseling at lunchtime, mm-hmm. and she's trying to figure out which direction to take her technical career. And honestly, as long as you're doing it with some consciousness, with some mindfulness, as opposed to just letting your life happen by default.
Well, you're always going to have three or four options. Are you saying no to the options that don't take you in the direction you want to go to? Right. I mean, that's the biggest thing is it's only a handful of decisions that shape a career. You just, the problem is you don't get to think about them for very long when the opportunity comes. You have to have already thought about them. You already need to know what is yes for you before you're really going to be able to make the decision when it needs to be made.
Yep. Exactly. Actually, I'm going to write a blog post about this. It's funny. So I just Googled myself. You ever do this? I Google myself just to see, not myself, but like I Googled life happens by default to see if I had written about it before because at some point I might have written about it.
You've written so many blog posts that's pretty, I have that problem with podcasts.
You know what I mean? I'm like, yeah, Richard, that's right. I should write a blog post about that. And then I'm like, well,
I think I have.
have I written that blog post before? So I have not. A very nice person named Paul Apostolos did write about that because apparently I've said this before on the show. So I'm going to write a supporting blog post and then link to his. So that's very nice. But yeah, mindfulness is so important. And maybe I should have used some on this podcast.
Nah, you know, you think about the handsome minutiae we've done over the years, my friend, and we've done a bunch. Many of 18. The most fun ones were, what are you most excited about right now?
I appreciate you, Richard Campbell, for letting me geek out about my frivolous, ridiculous cash purchase of my Nintendo Switch that I'm very excited about.
But this is also, you know, these are the phone calls you and I have anyway when the recorders aren't around, right?
That's true.
It's entirely possible while you were driving back to Portland from Redmond, you could have phoned me and said, we would have talked about the Switch the whole way.
Yeah, I will talk about it with anyone at this point. It's so thoughtful. It's just a beautiful little piece of hardware. And I'm going to write up, like, I got these little rubber, little things you can improve. I like this thing too about consumer hardware now.
Yeah.
These are little rubber
covers.
Like what is, you know, covers, but they're not just covers. It's got a little depth to it. So it gives it a grip.
Nice.
Like a fat grip for your hands, and I don't think I could use the Switch without it. It would hurt my hands.
And now it won't slide off a table. Like it's traction-y.
Exactly. It's traction-y.
That's a good idea.
So that is our show, and I appreciate your use of your time.
You know what? I've been too long since we chatted like this, so I'm glad we did.
Indeed. Now I'm going to turn on my radio voice. I'll do it, and then maybe you can do it after.
Okay.
Okay? You ready? This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.
This has been another episode of Hansel Minutes. We'll see you again next week.
Well, that's really good. I may use that as my new thing. See you later.